There was a man who came up to Jesus. He was a Pharisee, a lawyer, a scribe. A lawyer is a person who studies the law in Jesus' day. Remember, the law in Jesus' day was the Constitution of Israel. It was what made them a nation. And this guy was kind of like an attorney today. He understood the law. And he came up to Jesus and he asked him a question. It says, but when the Pharisees heard, verse 34, Matthew 22, verse 34, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. So he was putting Jesus to the test. And he said, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? In other words, what is the greatest commandment found in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And this is the great and first commandment. Then he said, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So when Jesus responded to this lawyer came to him and he said, what's the greatest commandment? What did Jesus respond with? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. That's a quote out of Deuteronomy 6. And he says, this is the first and greatest commandment. Well, how is it that we love God? Because that is our first commandment. Let me see if I can get our stuff going here. I think I'm at the end of the show, Haley. I have to restart it. Click on the first slide. So the greatest commandment is to love God. And that's your fourth point there. There we go. Okay, thank you. Okay, to love God, out of Matthew 22. That is the greatest commandment. What does it look like to love the Lord our God with all our heart and mind and soul? What does that look like in our lives? To love the Lord your God with all your heart and your mind and your soul. To love Him with all your heart is to love Him emotionally. To love Him passionately. Above all, to love Him most. Matthew, Owen, listen up. To love Him most above everything else in our lives. Because it's very easy for idols to creep into our lives and for us to begin to love someone else or something else more than God. And it can become loving a guy, loving a girl more than we love God. It can be loving things, material things. It can be accomplishments, success, whatever it is. But it's so easy for things to become more valuable and more important to us than God. And then we begin to make our choices not based on love of God, but love of that thing. And we choose and we decide what we're going to determine, what we're going to do with our lives based on getting that thing above all else. When that happens, that thing has become an idol in our lives. And our affections have been lured away from God towards something else. And now we love it more than God. To love the Lord your God with all your heart means that He is first and foremost. Now, it doesn't mean you can't love other things, because God gives us marriage, for instance, and He calls us to love our husbands and wives. When you guys get married one day, the expectation is from God is that you will love your husband or your wife. But you don't love them more than God. God is first and foremost in our lives. So you love the Lord our God with all our heart. With all our minds, what does that look like? It means, you know, when you pour your heart into things, when you do schoolwork, when you go about your daily life, when you have conversations, you use your intelligence to the glory of God. When you're going to study and do school, you do it to the glory of God. With all of your mind, it means you focus your mind on the things of God. And in your heart and mind, He is the first and foremost. It's to do those things. To love Him with all your mind is to think of Him first. And to do the things that you do with your mind for His glory and with all your soul. So love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul. The whole point here is that with everything that you have, with everything that you have, He is first, first and foremost. So the first thing we have to do in regard to the commandments of God is to love God. What's interesting... Well, we'll come back to this in a minute. The second one is to love others. To love others. And that's what Jesus says. This is the first and greatest commandment, verse 38. And then 39, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if you love somebody the same way you love yourself, what does that look like?
A lot.
A lot. How so? Be more specific. What does it look like to love someone as much as you love yourself? Do y'all love yourselves? Yeah, usually. Huh? Yes, you think about what they need. Because how often during the day do you think about your needs? Most of the time. You know, and that's legit. That's not a bad thing. You need to get up in the morning. You need to take a shower, especially after Love Week, right? You need a shower. That's thinking about your needs. We take care of ourselves. We do our hair. You know, we put on makeup, ladies. Not guys. There was an 80s thing when I was in high school, guys started waking their makeup. We were like, nah, guys, come on. But it happened. No, ladies put on makeup, right? Why? Yeah, because we like wanting to look good, all right? We love ourselves. We take care of ourselves. We do for ourselves. The Bible says love others the way we love ourselves. To love your neighbor the way you love yourself. Now, the question then becomes, who's your neighbor? Who's the neighbor? Yes, everybody. Let's talk through specifically. First, Christians. John chapter 13. Jesus says in John 13, a new commandment I give you. He said this to his disciples. A new command I give you, that you love one another. He was speaking to what would become the new church. A new command I give you, that you love one another. Show love to each other. And put each other, and what does it look like to do that within the body of Christ? It's to care about other people's needs, to be interested in their needs. It's to step in and help people when they need help. So, if you have someone in this youth group who's going through a hard time, what do? You come alongside, you encourage, you build them up, you invest in their life, those kinds of things. We put others' needs before ourselves. We go to them and care about them. It also means when you love another Christian that you're willing to confront. That you're willing to confront them. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. You know what? You got somebody in the youth group who's dating somebody that they shouldn't be dating. What should you say? Oh, it's okay. He's cute. That ain't what you say. Oh, man, I know she ain't very spiritual, but she's looking good. You doing all, no, that ain't what you say. What do you say? Look, you stop them. Listen, you stop them. You confront them about the truth. Word of God says do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And you, it was what I said before, when you guys get married, you don't marry someone who's an unbeliever. So don't let your heart get attached. That's key. You intervene in that person's life. If you see someone who's going out and drinking and partying, call them out. Don't call me. I am not the police of the youth group. You tell them. What the heck are you doing, man? That's what you tell them. What did you say? Did I say it that way? Doing. What you doing? Right? You intervene. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. That's the way we as Christians show love. Do you see a brother or sister in Christ going the wrong direction? You step in. Why? Because you love them. Listen, guys, the person who doesn't love you will tell you it's okay. The person who doesn't really care will tell you what you want to hear. The real friend is the one who's honest, who will step up and say, you're breaking my heart. Because they understand that honoring Jesus Christ with your life is more important. When I get kids come to me and say, such and such is doing, do you see such and such did? I'm like, did you stop them? Did you tell them? Did you say something? Well, no, I came and told you. Well, tell them. God's this powerful coming from you. When you go into that person's life and you speak into their life, be willing to call them out. Now, you do it in love. You do it in gentleness, but you do it. And that's key. That's what Christian love is. Now, we don't do that with unbelievers. Why? Because they don't have a standard. Now, we can tell them, look, God loves you, and if you'll repent of this, turn from this thing, and turn to Him, He is going to transform your heart and life. But I'm not calling them out on drinking. I may say to them, that's dangerous, that's against the law, you're going to get hurt. But I can't hold them to a Christian standard because they don't know Jesus. That's a different perspective. With that person, I'm talking to them about the gospel, and that's the other person that we have to love. Oh, there's our text. Okay, so the next one is non-Christians. Luke chapter 10, you remember Jesus was talking about the Samaritan. He told a story. The man said, you'll love your neighbor as yourself. And the man said, who's my neighbor? What was he trying to do? He was trying to get away with not having to love many people. He got to kind of draw the net kind of tight around who the neighbors were. Limit the number of people. And Jesus said, told him the story of the Good Samaritan. You remember the three people walked by the man who had been beaten up and had been injured. In fact, I can bring a little bit of the text up. They walked by the man who had been injured, and he had been hurt, and two ignored him. But the third one, who was a Samaritan, the foreigner, the person who was hated by him, by the guy who was in the ditch, and he stopped. And he bound up his wounds. And he put him on his own donkey. And he took him to the hotel. And he found a place for him, and he paid his way. He took care of him. And then Jesus asked at the end, he said, who's the neighbor to the man? And the guy talking to him would not even say Samaritan because he hated Samaritans so much. Instead, he said, the one who showed him compassion. Guys, we are called to love people who are unlovely. We are called to love people who are not Christians too. People that don't always walk the way we walk, don't think the way we think, don't say the things we say. People have bad attitudes. People who are drunks, people who are drug addicts, people who are prostitutes, people who have done all kinds of awful things. We're supposed to love them. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. He called us out to go across those barriers. You know what? The Samaritan was a different race than the Jew, which means we cross racially as well, which we need to do. Speak to people who are not the same color as you, the same ethnicity as you. They need Jesus too, and they need to know our love for them. It doesn't matter what color you are. The whole world needs Christ. And so we need to be proclaiming the truth about Jesus and showing love and kindness and gentleness to people, no matter what they're like or what ethnicity they are or anything else, or what socioeconomic level they are, whether they live in the penthouse or the trailer house. We got to show them love the same way. Jesus has called us to that. Now, the last one. This one's tough. Our enemies. Matthew chapter 5. Jesus said this. You have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say that you love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So you may be sons of your Father who's in heaven. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors and the sinners do the same? If you just love people to love you, that's not great. And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? He said, love your enemies. Girls, that means the girl that sits down the lunch table from you that you hate or despise or you're sick of or has a bad attitude or talks down to you or cussed you out last week, you love them. Guys, that guy that you don't like that's on your baseball team, your football team, whatever else it is, that never listens, got a bad attitude, who mocks you and tears you down, calls you short, calls you whatever else, you love him. That girl that gossiped about you, that girl that took your boyfriend, you love him. You love her. You love her. He said, love your enemies. See, this command in Jesus' day would have been like, what? What? Love your enemies. Love week is spring break. What I want to know in your heart and mind is, how much are you loving next week? When you go back to school, are you going to be in the pack that's mocking and teasing that girl? Are you going to be the one who stands up and maybe loses some friends because you're willing to love? Which one are you going to be? He didn't call us to do the easy thing. Love is more than going out on a project work site every spring break. You know what? It means loving brothers and sisters, cousins. It means loving people who are hateful and rude and unlovely. It's a big deal. It means loving people who have abused you, who have mistreated you, who have insulted you. Jesus called us to something big. So next week, I want to challenge you. Let next week be your love week. Last week was awesome. What I want to know is, what's next week going to be like in your life? Let's close. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. I ask that you lead us out tonight as we go. Thank you for an amazing week. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you and to know you and to have a part in the things that you're doing in our community. Lord, you have set us apart as a people to be different. Lord, deliver us from looking just like the world around us. Lord, teach us what it means to love the Lord our God with all our heart and mind and soul. And the outworking of that, which is to love our neighbor as ourselves. Lord, you said on this, all the law and the prophets hang. All of it is summed up in this, in these two commandments. Because really, it's about loving you and loving people. We can boil it all down there. And I ask, Father, that we would transform our hearts, Lord. Start with us. Teach us to love you more. And then as we love you, may out of the overflow of that, or may that love overflow out of us into the hearts and lives of people around us. Christians, non-Christians, even those who hate us. Help us, Lord. Thank you for an amazing week together. Pray, Father, that you would, that the memories we made of Love Week would be profound in our lives and bear fruit for months and days and months to come. But Lord, help us to go out next week, tomorrow, as we go back to school, go back to work. Teach us what Love Week was really all about. Help us, Lord, and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.